Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing and keeps me singing as I go. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus,
sweetest,
sweetest name I know, fills my every longing and keeps me singing as I go. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing and keeps me singing as I go. And what a mighty God we serve, what a mighty God we serve, for the angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him, what a mighty God we serve. Oh yes, what a mighty God we serve, what a mighty God we serve. Oh, the angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him, what a mighty God we serve. Oh yes, what a mighty God we serve, what a mighty God we serve. The angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him, what a mighty God we serve. Oh yes, what a mighty God we serve, what a mighty God we serve. For the angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him, what a mighty God we serve. Oh yes, what a mighty God we serve, what a mighty God we serve. For the angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him, what a mighty God we serve. Oh yes, what a mighty God we serve, what a mighty God we serve. And the angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him, what a mighty God we serve.
Of a believer. The book of Matthew, St. Matthew's chapter 25, is one of the great passages of the scripture that deal with an incredible event that is right down the road, not far from us. It deals with the marriage supper of the Lamb. And this morning, I want to encourage you. I want to give you something that will hopefully fill you with an excitement about the future. I want to preach on the overcomers at the marriage supper. The overcomers at the marriage supper. Now, I don't mean this morning to preach about those who miss it. I just want to preach to those who make it. I want to encourage those of you who know there is a marriage supper in heaven. Now listen to me, a marriage supper in heaven. I'm going to try to preach slower this morning because I know that some of our wonderful Spanish-speaking people can follow me when I go fast. Well, when I hear Spanish people speaking, they talk faster than I do. Don't they, Brother Jose? Don't Spanish people talk faster than me? I know they do because I'm always saying to them, slow down a little bit. Even when they're talking English in Spanish lingo, I have a hard time hearing it. And so I'll say, slow it down. Well, I need to learn to live by what I preach. I need to slow it down. But I want to talk about the overcomers. The overcomers at the marriage supper. The overcomers at the marriage supper. Now that marriage supper will be in heaven. It will be immediately after the rapture. I want to make sure you know exactly, in case you have not heard this preached before. The marriage supper is all the saints of God, all the saints of God for 6,000 years, who have been faithful to God after they are resurrected. Some of them were living saints alive at the time of the rapture. And all of them will be together at one great feast called the marriage supper. That's the word the Bible gave it, the marriage supper. And this marriage supper will be the place where Jesus Christ is crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, God's already declared him King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but the church has never celebrated that in an official ceremony, an official event, and that will occur at the marriage supper. We will crown Jesus King of Kings and Lord of Lords. From that great event, we will leave heaven and come back to the earth and will set up a kingdom under Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. This earth will be a place of its spiritual Sabbath, the 7,000 years since creation. And it will be a hallelujah event in which righteousness will reign on the earth. The Bible says that righteousness will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. You get that? I'm trying to say that where everybody gets it. Righteousness will cover the earth as a water covers the sea. And that marriage supper will be the event in heaven to prepare the church to come back and reign on the earth with Christ 1,000 years. And to be a part of that 1,000-year millennial reign is the hope of every faithful saint of God, every faithful saint of God. And we will turn this earth into a Garden of Eden from the North Pole to the South Pole, from the east to the west. There will be no deserts, and there will be no barren mountain peaks. There will be no places of no growth. There will be no places where the earth is just a desert or a wilderness. The whole earth will be a place that will be like the Garden of Eden in the days of creation. We are talking about one of the grandest events of human history. I mean, this event is the crowning of the great bride of Christ, the faithful saints of God who have been overcomers all the way since Adam and Eve until the day in which this will occur. Even the living saints, when the rapture takes place, will be part of that if they are overcomers. We are talking about something so grand. So excited. Yes, last night I'd come to the church. You may be seated. I'm sorry for that. You may be seated. I have to stand, and so sometimes I just let you stand. I don't mean to do that. But listen to me. I want you to make sure you hear what Brother Chambers is trying to pour his heart out about. Last night I came to the church and was praying a while. And I started praying for the bride of Christ, those in preparation, those in training, those who are even now overcoming all over the world. I start praying for the bride of Christ, that God's people all over this earth will get excited and will prepare themselves and will get the wedding garment in perfect attire upon their lives, and they will be ready. And I literally squalled as I thought about people in China who worship in homes, trying to hide from the authority, pulling the curtains and speaking softly and singing softly. I thought of people in all parts of this earth. Many of them don't have a church to go to. Many of them go to dead churches just to be in a church and sit there and quote the Bible while they have to turn their ears away from hearing false doctrine. If you knew the way many godly people suffer on the face of this earth, there are so many every year being slaughtered in communities that are raged by some of the false religions of the earth. I mean, they will kill Christians by the thousands. We don't know the number that die every year, but it's in the thousands and even the millions around this globe die every year for the faith of Jesus Christ. Multitudes of them are faithful, godly people. They're overcomers of the world and the devil and the flesh. And they will be part of that great bride. And all the sufferings will be over. All the sufferings will be behind them. I sent Sister Norma Valley a text. She is in Texas. And I said, Norma, I remember coming to your house, and this was probably 15 years ago, and meeting her and her family and Carlos. And I looked the first time or second time I went, I looked on the wall behind their couch, and there was a godly woman. A godly woman. I mean, every detail of her life was shining in her face. Her dress attire, everything. I said, Norma, that's a holiness woman. Oh, she said, yes. My mother was an old saint of God. My mother was an old saint of God. I said, tell me about her. She told me about her mother. She said in the community in Honduras where she lived that the pastor required everybody to come to church every night. They didn't have church twice a week at night, three times a week, counting Sunday morning. They had church every night, and they all went every night. Well, they had no television. They had none of the world's entertainment. And so going to church was a joy of their lives. And this was an old saintly woman. And I said, Sister Norma, I guarantee you that mama is going to be part of the bride on that wonderful, wonderful day. And then I thought about Sister Horton. Brother Wade Horton was one of the pillars of the Church of God. Sister Horton was a saint. I mean, a godly woman. And I remember he would come and preach for us at the church on Little Rock Road occasionally. And one time he came and he brought Sister Horton with him. And I'll never forget. When church was over, Sister Horton came to me, Brother Chambers. Brother Chambers, every time I get to come to this church, I am so thrilled. She said, if I lived anywhere close, this would be my church home. And that so thrilled me that Wade Horton's wife, the general overseer's wife, would look at me and say, if I lived anywhere close, this would be my church. And then I can think of so many, so many. I think of Brother Buck's mother, Sister Lindsay. Sister Lindsay, I hope you can hear me, Brother Buck. Sister Lindsay was a saint, if there ever was a saint of God. And there were not just Sister Lindsay, but he had a sister, Sister Moselle. She was so godly, so godly. And every once in a while, she'd be sitting back on the back row. I think she always sat on the left near the back. And she would begin to give a message in tongues. You never wondered if it was the Holy Ghost when Sister Moselle started giving a message in the Holy Ghost. You knew it was the Holy Ghost. I tell you, she's already up there with her wedding garment on. She's ready for that marriage supper. Are you listening to me? I could name so many. Sister Chambers is up there. Sorry about that. Up there ready for the marriage supper. And there are just many. And yet, all over our globe, Brother Buck Lindsay, as sure as my name is Reverend Chambers, is ready for the marriage supper. Brother Buck, he gets on everybody's nerves where he lives because he sits and talks in tongues most of the day, praying in the Holy Ghost and praising the Lord and blessing the name of the Lord and just pray. He's full of the Holy Ghost. He's ready to be part of that bride. And there are millions of those kind of people at different parts of our world who are ready. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? They're ready. They got on the wedding garment. They got on the wedding garment. Well, I want to read this text, and I'm full of this. I'm telling you, I am excited about the marriage supper. Brother Charles, I'm telling you, that's going to be a moment of grandness. That's going to be a moment. I thought last night, Sister Phoebe, of your grandmother. That good, godly woman. Hallelujah. I don't know when I met her. I have no idea. She was killed in a car accident, I think, if I'm right. Trying to remember. Only happened, what, 3-4 years ago. I didn't know it until about a year after she'd gone on to heaven. And what a godly woman. I don't know when I met her, but I know from the time she learned about this church and this ministry, every month there was a check in the mail sent to Paul Creek to help us in the work of the Holy God, a godly woman. Nobody doubted that this woman was on in the top of the list. See, she was ready for the wedding supper. She had her garment on. His righteousness I'm talking about, the righteousness of Christ. And she was ready. And I think now as I stand here, two things are happening in our world. There is wickedness in the religious world that is growing every day. There's every kind of darkness you can imagine in the name of religion at some part of our world. All over America, there are religious people who have lost their way. They've got off in all kinds of tangents and all kinds of theologies and all kinds of misunderstandings. And sometimes it's anger, sometimes malice, sometimes selfishness, just many different things. And they are losing their way. And they many of them, not all of them, some of them will turn around, come back. We ought to pray for that every day. But many of them will go deeper and deeper. And that's going to be the church of the Antichrist. That's going to be the church that goes into the tribulation. They're going to take allegiance to the false Christ. And they're going to serve the false redeemers, false savior, a false spirit. I mean, they're going to be part of that great crowd of the wicked during the 7-year tribulation period. And there's a crowd of religious people that are moving into that vein. If you knew the percentage of the church that has lost their way and are headed right into that false church of the 7-year tribulation, it'd break your heart. If you knew how many people that used to speak in tongues, they used to sing in the Holy Ghost, they used to be full of the Spirit of God until they were living witnesses and testimonies that somehow people have allured, or darkness has allured, or the enemy has distorted. I mean, I don't know all the ways the devil does to get people off of the real path, but there's a multitude. But there's a few people. And this is not the multitudes. But there's a few people. There's a few godly saints. This morning, or tonight, or whatever, and whatever time of hour that they may be living in, they sit in God's house with hearts attuned to the heavens. Their soul is reaching up, and their heart is crying out, and they can sense that the wedding garment is upon their bodies, and they're ready, and they're waiting for the trumpet to sound to move out of here and join that great crowd of the ceremonials. Hallelujah, that great crowd of the overcomers, and to join that heavenly event called the marriage supper. Now there's a bunch of them. I don't know how many God's got getting ready for the marriage supper, but I guarantee you one thing, it's not just a little handful. Anybody agree with me? How many believe God's got some folks everywhere around this globe? Would you raise a hand? How many believe God's got some folks hidden in some churches that have died, but they refuse to die? Churches that have compromised, but they refuse to compromise. Churches that's lost the fire, but they still know how to pray and pray till the Holy Ghost moves down. I'm telling you, God's got folks all over this globe. They're ready for the marriage supper. God's got another bunch among us that's getting ready. And that Holy Ghost revival we're fixing to have will have one reason above all the other reasons, and there are many, many different things we could say will be accomplished, but the one thing that will be accomplished when that Holy Ghost move comes is getting people ready for the bride, getting people ready for the wedding feast, getting people ready for that grand and glorious banquet. Raise your hand and worship Him, will you? Oh, I promise you, God's got a lot of people that are getting ready for the wedding. I'm not going to miss it, brother. I don't know what all the prices I might have to pay. I don't know how many things I'm going to have to suffer. I don't know what's going to occur in my life before the end of the way. But I'm telling you, I am going to keep myself focused on the readiness of that marriage supper. I'm going to be an overcomer by the grace of God. Oh, hallelujah. What a day, church. Somebody help me. How many believe that day is really near at hand? Can I see your hand? Do you know, in a split second, that rapture could occur. And in before the sun sets here, won't be no sun up there to set. Before the sun sets here, we could be at the table feeding on the marriage feast. That's how quick it's going to happen. It's the very next thing after the rapture. I guarantee you, Sister Davis, you probably never heard a sermon on this, have you? Probably never. Most people, how many of you have never heard a sermon on the marriage supper? Let me see your hand. You've never heard a preacher preach on the marriage supper before this morning. Let me see your hand. Do we only have two? All right, two in the building? You've heard, I'm telling you, the world knows little about it. You are blessed that you're at a church that preaches the total Bible. The total Bible. Everything in it. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost revival. Oh, I sat in the altar, around this altar praying this week, in the mornings, and I kept waiting to hear a fire truck coming to put out the fire over the building that they can't put out when they get here, because it's going to be Holy Ghost fire and their water won't work. Hallelujah. Their water won't work. I promise you, church, we're so close to that event. I just rejoice. I got to read this beautiful text because we need to know this is not Brother Chambers. This is not my theology. This is the Bible theology. Let's listen a little bit. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Listen now. The kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins that went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in the vessels with their lamps. Notice that. The first took the vessels, but no oil. The second took the vessels with their lamps and with oil. So they had a supply. They had a backup supply, you might say. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now, let's stop there a minute. I want you to make sure you understand. Jesus is telling this. This is not my story. This is what we call a parable, where something is likened unto the spiritual matter. The subject is the bridegroom and his coming. And the subject includes the bride and her readiness to go with the bridegroom when he comes. And then he likens the whole multitude divided between two groups. 5 of them are wise. They're very smart. They've grown up spiritually. They're mature. And they're not taking no chances. They're getting ready. So 5 of them are wise. And they took their lamps with fire in the lamp, burning. But they took extra oil in case there was a distance of time and their supply in the vessel would run out. And then they would have oil in the lamp run out. Then they have oil in the vessel to supply. Well, 5 of them were foolish. 5 of them were not responsible people. They'd go to church occasionally. They had a little fire in their vessel. They'd been full of the Holy Ghost. No question that those 5 foolish virgins had been full of the Holy Ghost. There's no question. They'd been in the church some years. They'd been right there. But because of time, because of experiences, because of difficulties, because of the nights being long and the days being burdensome, they had allowed the vessels to lose all its supply. And then finally, before the sound is made, the lamp has gone out. And they're there waiting, they think, for the bride. But they're not, the bridegroom, but they don't have any oil. They don't have any fire. But five of them are wise. Oh, they're dedicated. They're just like some of you, maybe all of you, maybe most of you. You know that if you're going to be ready when he comes, you got to stay close to the altar. You got to stay close to the fire. You don't get this fire just by saying, I want it right now. You get this fire by lingering near the fire. You know, fire can only bless those who get close to it. You can be in a house with a beautiful fireplace, and if you sit so far away that the heat can't get to you, you don't enjoy any of the comfort. But if you get up close to the fire, I got a fireplace, and I put me in a gas thing this year. And oh, when I was sick, it was so wonderful to get up close to the fire and just soak it up. And I enjoyed it. Well, that's how the Holy Ghost is. The Holy Ghost is fire. How many knew that? You can't get around the Holy Ghost and not get around fire. The Holy Ghost is fire. And all you got to do is get up close to the Holy Ghost. Or get up close to somebody full of the Holy Ghost. That even helps. And let that fire fill you. And don't just be satisfied to say, I got enough fire to make it till tomorrow. I want enough fire to make it till Christmas. I want enough fire to make it whenever the distance and however the time is. I want enough fire to always have a supply waiting for me just to say, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. And you know what? When you get full of the Holy Ghost, all you got to say is hallelujah, and you feel the fire. Somebody raise their hand and tell him you love him. Are you one of those five wise virgins? Oh, are you one of those five? You just not going to let your fire go out if it's Tuesday night and you get weary and you get tired and you get to feeling a little lonesome. What do? Go to somewhere and get you a place to pray. You can pray anywhere you are. I have some of my best prayers in the car. Hallelujah. I'm going to see my granddaughter in Maine, and they're begging me to get a plane. I don't want a plane. I hate riding them things. I hate the wickedness, the godlessness. You are sitting in some of the, I mean, it's terrible. So I'm going to drive my sheen. I really am. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pray and have a Holy Ghost time all the way. Hallelujah. When I get there, I want to be so full of the Holy Ghost that everybody in the family and all the other families connected with them will know Brother Chambers has been with God. How many remember the story of Abraham when he went up on the mountain to meet God? How many remember when he came back down, had to cover his face? I that's what I want, brother. I want so much Holy Ghost that you have to cover my face. Huh? Most. Hallelujah. That's how much I want. So I'm so full. I don't know what you're saying yet. I'm sorry. Moses. What did I say, Abraham? Thank you, brother. I'm sorry. But Abraham had some of it too. He remember he took his son up on the mountain and he didn't have a sacrifice, and God provided him one up on the mountain. Hallelujah. He had a sacrifice, but it was his son. And God didn't intend for Abraham to kill his son. Forgive me, man. Thank you for helping me. How many know it was Moses? Let me see your hand. How many heard that when I said Abraham and you knew immediately? I guarantee you, sister, I'm going to be mischievous here, so I'm going to back up. Listen, church, I'm here to tell you. You listen to me. You get close to that Holy Ghost fire and it'll get a hold of you. You can't stay close to it and it not get a hold of you. In fact, if you get close to it and you don't want it, you feel like running. In fact, sometimes that's why, you know, people, some of your best friends where you work, you just be too on fire for God, and you'll start losing a friend every once in a while. I mean, they get tired of all that smoke that comes out of your testimonies and your faith. Well, I'm getting off the subject here, but I want you to know those five wise virgins, they were ready. They were waiting, and that's what I've got to pray for this morning. That's what I've been praying last night and during the night, is God to get people whom I know, family members and loved ones and dear folks, get them so hungry, get them so dressed up in the garment of holiness, get them so separated from this world that in a moment's notice they can leave here without anything but saying goodbye, world, goodbye. Hallelujah. What a day it's going to be, and it's coming soon. Woo, hallelujah. But the wise took of the vessels with their lamps. Took of their vessels with their lamps. You understand that? Oh, it's beautiful. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know how exactly that's going to work. You see, midnight here would be 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3, or a long 24-hour span. He's not talking about the time of day. He's talking about a time when it's midnight everywhere. Now, let me ask you something. Have you ever known the midnight to be darker than right now in America? America is at the darkest moment of its history. You talk about wickedness, and you think about what Charlotte has become. You think about the wickedness in this city, but it's everywhere. You say, I'm going to go somewhere where it's not wicked, and tell me where you're going, and I'm going to follow you. There ain't no such a thing. There is no place. We're in a world that's a midnight everywhere, and the darker it gets, the more you know it's time for him to come. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The darker it gets, listen to me now, the darker it gets, Brother Jose, the nearer we are to the rapture. Are you hearing? That's got to get to you now. The darker it gets, the nearer we are to the rapture. The dark, and it can only get so much darker to be possible. I don't see how it can get much darker. I guess it can. It sure does look bad to me. But at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Let me ask you something. Everybody, listen. Right now, if the trumpet would sound, are you fully conscious of being ready? Have you overcome the world? Have you overcome Satan? Have you overcome your own flesh? You know, the toughest battle is usually not the world and the devil. It's usually what you're dealing with in your own flesh. The flesh will keep you out of church. The flesh will keep you from obeying God. The flesh will keep you from paying your tithes. The flesh will keep you from giving yourself to the things of God during the week. The flesh will keep you from reading that Bible. The flesh will keep you from praying until the Holy Ghost comes down. I mean, the flesh will really be the worst enemy you got to face. In fact, the world can't touch you when you get the flesh under control. Am I being heard? If you can get this old flesh sanctified, the world cannot touch you. They'd make you miserable. Then come at you like a storm and give you a fit for your money. But I'm here to tell you, when you get this flesh under control, you can wear the wedding garment. What is the wedding garment? The wedding garment is the righteousness of Jesus Christ clothed upon you from head to toe. It is the righteousness that makes you talk right. It's the righteousness that makes you dress right. It's the righteousness that makes you think right. It's the righteousness that sends the devil fleeing away when the troubles come. It's a godly life. It's righteousness that possesses you. You're full of it. You love him. You love his holiness. You love his testimony. You love the way he wants you to live. Hallelujah. Would somebody praise him? That's the right, the wedding garment. It's that godly life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Miss Shekobaradima. Oh, I feel so sweet with his holiness this morning. I'm so glad I'm lost in him. I'm lost in him. Holy, you know what? The wedding garment will make you work. I mean, do right. The wedding garment will make you stay pure even when everything turns against you. I don't care how bad it gets. The wedding garment cannot be defiled if you have a made up mind. How many will say this morning, I make my mind up all over this morning. I'm going to be ready when that wedding starts. Raise your hand way up high. I'm going to be ready. I'm going, I'm waving it so everybody can see your hand up there. I'm going to be ready. I'm going to stay ready. I'm going to walk with him. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to live for him. Man, I got so many scriptures and my time has fled from me. Listen to me, church. There is nothing like this morning knowing that you're ready for the wedding supper. It is the greatest thing of a believer's life is being ready for the wedding supper at any moment. He said, Brother Chambers, I'm going to get ready tomorrow. If you're not ready today, you're not going to get ready tomorrow. I mean, I see people all the time. I'm trying to get me ready to get ready. I'm trying to get ready to get ready. When you make up your mind, you better get ready right then, because the enemy is going to give you one fit. The enemy is going to, he goes about seeking whom he may devour. Can you imagine? Now listen to this. How many people you know that used to be ready and you know they're not ready now? Think of the people you know. You know anybody? You know anybody, sister? You know anybody? Says David. You know anybody? You used to be ready? I get in this altar often and I start praying. And I go to praying for preachers that I have known. Do you know the biggest problems in the denominations are the children of the old timers that used to be faithful? I went over to the hospital some time ago to see Brother Loftus. If you know Ray Loftus, he's an old timer. Great man. He's older than me. I guess he's right at 90. I went to see him at the hospital, and his son was downstairs and saw me come in and said, Brother Chambers, did you come to see Daddy? Yes, I sure did. Let me take you to him. So he takes me. We go up to his daddy. And we're sitting there, and he looks at me and said, Brother Chambers, you and my daddy are the last two of the real old-timers around this area that I know. He said, Brother Chambers, where have they all gone? I looked at him. I said, what's your name? Are you Ray Loftus' son? Yeah. I said, you know why we're the last two? Because you and my son let down the barrier, and you are not ready to be an old timer. And he looked at me. I mean, it was beautiful. He didn't get mad. He could have blown up, I guess. I was looking him in the face. I said, you're the reason, and my son's the reason why the old timers are almost all gone. But we're not the only one. I'm not bragging on me at all. I know some saints of God all over this world. I know some good ones. I know some good ones. I get calls all the time from a missionary who's over in Hong Kong. And he's moving among the house churches all over China. And he moves and he said, Brother Chambers, I want you to go with me. And I said, Brother, I want to go with you. But I would be in dire danger over there. I would be no good to you. He said, Brother Chambers, we do the traveling at night. He says we have to walk through the rice paddies most of the time with water up to almost our knees. And we travel that way because we know if we meet the authority that's going to be the end of us. And he said, it's not that hard traveling all night in rice paddies. Can you imagine? And he's an old-time missionary helping people. Well, you know what he's doing over there in Hong Kong and China? He's getting people ready to be part of the bride. It's so cool. Can you imagine going in a home after he's been traveling all night in the muck and mire of a rice paddy? You know they have to keep them things flooded with water. It's not an easy place to walk. Can you imagine getting saints ready for the brideship. That ought to be the goal of the church. I don't know. It seemed like when I hit this last night, one of my glasses come out. How about that? It seems like to me that the church has forgot this. They forgot what we're talking about. They forgot about this marriage supper. They forgot we are on the verge to the grandest day of human history. We're about to move out of here and move up there. Oh, that's a motto. Can you imagine? Won't you stand with me? I got to end this. Oh, the Bible is so full of it. The Bible is so full of it. Oh, what a day, what a day, what a day, what a day. Saints of God, hear me when I tell you that we are so close. We are so close, Sister Gloria. We're so close, Brother Derek. We're so close, Brother Dalton. We ought to be the happiest people in the world. We might just have supper over there tonight. Anybody hear that? We might just have supper, Sister Chancy, over there tonight. Can you imagine sitting down? Maybe they'll let me sit beside Peter. I'm a lot like him. Spontaneous. Off the cuff sometimes. Just moving like a brainstorming. I mean, Peter was one of them. You say, "Well, Chambers, you get too excited too fast." Well, then tell Peter how he got excited too fast when you get there. That is, but I might just get to say, folks, we are on the verge. You sit with grandmother, won't you? You loved her. I know how much you loved her. I'm gonna sit with Juanita. Hallelujah! This is her seat. This is our Bible. We keep it there. Don't want it gone, to be honest with you. Listen to me, church. We are so near this glorious moment. I feel like it's all. I feel like it could be today. Somebody raise a hand and just love on him a minute, would you? Oh, God, help us all over this radio land that people will hear me and hear this sermon. Get a hold of their hearts. All those Pentecostals that used to be so full of the Holy Ghost, they couldn't pray without praying in the Holy Ghost. All of those great preachers that couldn't preach without such an anointing would fall upon them. And God, they've allowed all of that to disappear. The oil has run out of their vessels. Their lamps have gone out. Oh, the multitudes, God, I weep for them. Let that Holy Ghost revival come, Father, so that we can see them getting ready. Oh, what a day is going to be when all over the land this church is on fire and saints by the hundreds are praying through the old time Pentecost again, and God is moving among them. What a day, what a day, what a day. Oh, tomorrow, surely. Oh, Holy Spirit of God, get a hold of us this morning. Don't let us ever forget how close we are. Oh, yeah. I wish more of you were so full of the Holy Ghost. I'm waiting for more and more of you. I'd love to hear one of you break out singing in the Holy Ghost right now. Would that make me happy? Singing in the Holy Ghost. You ever feel like it? Sometimes you feel the inspiration and you don't let it out. Let it out. Let it out. Oh, I can see you. I really do believe we're getting close. Oh, Sister Marilyn, I'm sorry I can't say your name. Bless your heart, Sister Vidal. Oh, I'm telling you. Oh, so what a day, Sister Carmen. I'm so glad God sent you to be part of us. We got others looking this way. Pray for the Hatches. They should be here any day. They're trying to get everything sold and moved. Pray for them. They're going to be a wonderful family. He was here Wednesday night just shining. You know what happened to him during camp meeting? He's a Baptist boy. His dad's a Baptist pastor. He's been giving them a really hard time for Pentecost. They went to visit the church, and he mocked tongues while they were sitting in the church, and they had to get him walk out. Well, during the camp meeting, God got a hold of him sitting back there, and he fell in this altar, and he said, "It's no more questions. This Holy Ghost is real." And he came to his faith in the Holy Ghost during the camp meeting. Didn't receive the baptism yet, but he will shortly, I guarantee you. See, it's almost over. And so I believe the Holy Ghost is busy right now trying to stir hearts to get them ready and to get the wedding garments on. Anybody feel it in your heart? Let me see your hand if you feel like God's trying to get you ready. Is he taking over? Are you turning things over to him? Are you giving yourself totally to him? It could be any moment. It might be today. I'd love to have supper over there tonight. Oh, well. Thank you, Father, for your love this morning. I preach out of my heart. Oh, God, I hadn't followed any of my plans much, but I've obeyed your spirit moving on me. And I believe my people are hungry. And I'm praying for so many around us, so many that we are acquainted with. I pray for anybody that in any way is missing the mark. I pray for them. I pray, move their hearts. You get a hold of them. You work a miracle. You show your power, God. You let truth abound. Let truth abound. Oh, let this sermon ring out everywhere it's heard. And let more and more people say, I'm going to get me ready. I'm going to get me ready. I want everybody who intend to go in that rapture and to be part of that marriage crowd. I want you to meet me in the altar, standing if you would. And let's just give it all afresh to God.
Shall be eternal Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land, and I'm looking now across that river. My faith will end in sight, for there's just a few more days to labor, then I will take. I'll stand, and there.